been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When you take a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When you take a swim, only option is to win.
Welcome to the Shrimp Tank, broadcasting live every Thursday. We are in the studio today at Mercedes-Benz of the Woodlands. I'm your host, Daniel Goodwin of Provident. Joining me in the studio today is Evan Blair, Ross Fleury, and the Young Woodlands Entrepreneurs Network. Also, my special co-host, Dr. John Newbold with the College of Business at Sam Houston State University. How's it going, John?
Doing very well. It's Sam Houston.
Yeah. What's up, guys?
What's up? What's up?
Yeah. Well, before we dive in and jump in to hear your story and to take a deep dive on the Woodlands Young Entrepreneurs Network and your personal stories, I just want a little update on what's going on the football up there at Sam Houston State. Somebody said that you guys are like 14-0.
14-0. Heading out to Virginia to play James Madison this week.
That's fantastic.
Are they going to mop them up or what?
Oh, yeah. Eat them up, cats.
Eat them up, cats. And then what we're going for is a championship game in Frisco this
year,
right?
Back in Frisco again, yes.
Yeah, and when would that be?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think right around early part of January.
Early part of January.
Bowl time.
Wouldn't that
year.
Be cool?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Dr. John, he's got on his orange. I got on my Bearcat. You know, I got my Bearcat socks on. Hang on. I think I'm kidding.
There they are.
Oh, we see that.
I got my America socks on.
All right. Moving on past the socks. We're going to talk today about the Shrimp Tank podcast. It's the radio show for entrepreneurs. And speaking of this, I got to give a shout out to Chip Matthews. You know, he had he's a professor at Sam Houston State University, teaches entrepreneurship, and he had a special class assignment just recently where he asked me to come in the classroom and be a shark, and his students there put on their presentations, and so we gave them evaluations. Now, they're not there to raise capital. It's a student project, but it got to, you know, I had to ask some of these students, you know, is this something that you're, are you doing this as a class project, or are you seriously interested in this business? A couple of people told me that they were, and so mm-hmm. I think the whole concept of entrepreneurship that we're going to talk about today, the way that that's been stimulated in the United States by the Shark Tank. You know, Shrimp Tank's a spinoff of Shark Tank, not a spinoff, but it's a playoff of the Shark Tank. And then I think that has a lot to do with you guys, the success of your Woodlands Young Entrepreneurs Network, because you guys are going gangbusters, right?
Absolutely.
What's going on with that? I mean, there's a buzz about the Woodlands Young Entrepreneurs Network here in the Woodlands. So maybe just let's get into that a little bit. Tell us when you guys started it, Evan or Ross, either one of you guys.
I'll go ahead and start this off. This started back in December of last year, and I would say tomorrow?
Tomorrow
our one-year anniversary?
December 9th.
Yep. So we had our first event on December 9th, but this all started, honestly, Evan was, he grew up here. He knows the area. I'm a transplant from Louisiana, and he had a great idea to try and bring a demographic together and have a voice in this community for this demographic. So how did that come about, Evan?
Well, the way that I would say, there's a lot of different outlets. I think anytime somebody looks at an entrepreneurial push, they look at revenue streams and different means as to why something is being done, why they had the idea. Honestly, mine was probably my own insecurities. I mean, if we're really honest, I wanted to do more with my business. I wanted to do more with myself. I didn't feel like I was behaving the way that I would try to portray to the world that I was behaving. I needed to take action. And so the best way I could figure to do that and to gather all the answers and figure out the best means to do that is to get the right people around me. And I think a lot of people really need to jump behind that. And there's a lot of people that want to see these changes, and they look around them and they don't necessarily know how to go about it. And so why not start a group where we can all grow together?
So you actually were looking for a community that could help to support you personally mm-hmm. as an entrepreneur. You didn't really see that in the community. Maybe you didn't see the vision that you thought it should have. And you and Ross, you came together and you guys started the Woodlands Young Entrepreneurs Network. Now, you each have your own businesses. You have your full-time jobs. Evan, you're in the printing and Ross, you're in the mortgage business, so could each of you maybe take a few moments, tell us a little bit about your business, because it sounds like the Young Entrepreneurs Network is something that, you know, that you had a vision for to help you in that business, but then a heart for the community and the other people that with the same need here.
It is definitely a passion project that we created on our off time. We seriously cannot meet until 6, 7 p.m. every night to work on this.
Because you're busy all day.
Correct. I've been in the mortgage business 11 years. I think you're very familiar with our business. What we've had to weather the storms, weathering through all that, the ups and downs. I've never had a salary. I don't know what a salary would be like. It is literally up every day. You grind for what you get.
Yeah, we call that eat what you kill, and that automatically makes you an entrepreneur because you go out and you make something happen. You produce or you don't eat, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And then, Evan, your situation's a little different because you're filling a leadership role in a family business that you may be taking over one day.
That is correct.
Printing business, right?
Absolutely. Well, printing and promotional products, apparel, I can go down the list. There's a lot of products that we provide. We do logo and custom materials for your company, a lot of B2B. Long story short, my family started this business in 1983. In fact, my mother started this business, so very well affiliated with a strong woman. And so that was a very entrepreneurial deal, talking about the minority-owned business, 1983, having a woman step up in the family and start this business and then hire on my father and develop some sales tactics there. But as we curve into 2017 and we start looking at trends, the 800-pound gorillas, the way that purchasing is going, I've had to obviously make some drastic calculated adjustments to the way that we're going to go to market in regards to maybe online order processing and all these great adaptations. So though I'm being handed over a book of business, that business itself is going through a massive change right now. And so I'm very excited about the future. And there's a lot of, again, with Ross, I don't get a paycheck unless I work for it.
Yeah, I was going to comment that at a lot of the colleges, like at Sam Houston State, our entrepreneurial program is growing like crazy. They're revamping it, they're expanding it, and that's happening on a lot of campuses around Texas and around the country. And our economy has always been based on a lot of small and medium businesses, but a lot of the younger people don't necessarily know what to expect when they start their own business, say, right out of college or whatever. And I was wondering what sort of advice you guys would give or what the network might provide. If you're saying, you ought to get involved in this network because it'll help you do what?
I think it's going to help you expand regardless. What I would like to touch on, what my first thought was, I think personal development is the biggest thing that an 18 to 22-year-old needs. Without personal development, they may not be aware of what they could do with these networking groups. They may not understand the value of reaching out to these people that may be a little bit older, but they may not realize that these guys want to hear from them. They want them to reach out. You know, I think we spoke previously about how rare it is to meet someone, and then, you know, they may be in their 20s, and for someone in their 40s to get a follow-up email the next day or a phone call or say, hey, I want to take you out to coffee. It just doesn't happen anymore. It is very rare these days.
Because we're on different wavelengths. Like, you guys are in your 20s and 30s, you know. And John and I don't know. Are you do Snapchat?
No.
I don't either. I mean, you're like, you know, we're on some different wavelengths. And you're right. I think you're completely right that it's a community for young people to come and develop and make their contacts. Now, they may not really know how valuable that is yet. How are you guys showing them that or teaching them that?
Well, I think we lead from the front on a lot of the new styles of business development that we're talking about, personal and professional. Self-branding by far is probably your safest personal and professional investment that you can make right now with the volatility of the marketplace. I mean, we're in Houston, Texas, talking about the big moneymaker here being oil and gas, and coming back from that curve and the soft economy that we're just now starting to see a little bit of an upturn from, and people that are in their 40s and 50s coming out of an oil and gas job, very skilled at that, having a little bit of a of cash in pocket from maybe being let go, and now all of a sudden they want to start their own business. They want to be able to continue providing cash flow and supporting their family. And there's still the desire and the need to learn how to go about running a business. And so you need to be able to jump into different jobs, jump into different atmospheres, and be Evan Blair or Ross Fleury, whatever company, and people are going to believe in you because you put yourself out there in a way that they can really grab onto that's tangible.
Yeah, you could be a smart guy or gal coming out of university. Maybe you're an engineer, and you know been in the petrochemical industry, and you're really smart in that area. But nobody's taught you how to read a balance sheet. Nobody's taught you how to build a business plan. And so, in fact, we talked about building a business plan, and we had some collaboration on that. And what I love about what you guys are doing is that you're really making those personal contacts, and you know that works. Somebody in my own company said that we've done some business with one of your companies, your printing business, I believe. So that's awesome. It comes as a result of relationships and meeting and knowing people. And these are not, you know, social media groups. These are real face to face, belly to belly sort of relationships. Your group, the Woodlands Young Entrepreneurs Network, you guys are doing events, you're doing all kinds of things. Tell us a little bit about some of what you have going on.
We do monthly events. So one of the coolest things that I think we have is we switch it up every month. One month we'll have a keynote speaker, like a business coach or a leader in the local area. And then one month we'll have more of a networking-based event where everybody's getting to know each other. The biggest feedback that we've gotten is really just the vibe that everybody gets. Everybody is so collaborative. It's not about competition. We have numerous people from numerous careers that all want to collaborate. And it's a good vibe. Everybody's just passing business left and right.
Yeah, whenever we first got it started this time last year, at that meeting, I said this year is the year of collaboration, not competition, in line with what Ross just said, because general economics, if I see somebody else that's in a printing capacity that's showing up at this event, and maybe I'm usually wouldn't want to shake their hand, wouldn't want to make eye contact, don't want to even be in the same room as them. But if we can learn from each other and we can trade business and we can talk about the ups and downs of the industry and see a positive economic growth in our immediate area, that means that people have more money to spend. That means that even though we're competition, we're both getting booms in business.
I love that you're teaching young people the value of personal relationships, but because I can tell you as a guy in my 50s, I didn't get it when I was your age. I didn't understand how valuable those relationships are. And now I can look at multiple ways that those relationships that I do have in place have been real assets for our business. Producer's telling me that we need to go to commercial break. You're listening live to the Shrimp Tank Podcast. Don't forget you can download a complete replay of our show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. And also, do not forget, all of our shows are on iTunes. So go to iTunes now and grab our shows on iTunes. The young entrepreneurs of the Woodlands have changed the way young professionals and entrepreneurs interact in the Woodlands area. We invite you to join. Members do not pay membership fees and agree to take a vested interest in developing both yourself and your community. Learn more about the group, our events, and how to join us at www.twyen.com or on facebook.com/thewoodlandsyen. And we are back live with the Shrimp Tank, broadcasting to you live from Mercedes-Benz of the Woodlands. During our December edition here, I'm live in studio today. Joining me is Dr. John Newbold of the College of Business at Sam Houston State University, Evan Blair, Ross Fleury, and these guys are the founders of the Young Woodlands Young Entrepreneurs Network. And they're changing things. They're shaking it up here in the Woodlands. They're doing great things, great work. We're talking about entrepreneurship. I would ask, and this is for any of you guys, that you know, as we all interface, equip, and as we consider that we're entrepreneurs ourselves, and you think about young people, some of them coming to your group that maybe they haven't found the idea or the confidence to launch. Maybe they have the idea, but they've not launched their business. They look and they see statistics that say that 50% of the small businesses fail in the first 5 years. How would you speak to that? What sort of encouragement would you have, given that those statistics are startling?
If that statistic bothers you, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't belly up to the facts and try to be the one that rises above that, that's part of the reason why our culture is the way it is. We don't have membership dues. So the people that show up there, we've got all these great individuals in the room. We can't guarantee that it's a even playing field. I don't think anybody can do that, but you can clear it, and whoever performs the best is going to win. And if you can perform the best in a group of people that are just there to try to better themselves and learn and get these great opportunities, then you're probably going to be in that 50% that make it through the first year. But it continues to break down. You go another 50% after the second year. By 5 years, you're at 10% of the total number have been the ones that are successful. So the true entrepreneur is going to be the one that wakes up knowing that that's what's staring them in the face, and they're going to still do it.
No participation trophies, huh?
Not at all.
You know, maybe one of the things that a young person could get from this is that not everybody's cut out to do it. You know, a lot of people are going to prefer the safety, the guarantees, the assurances, because being an entrepreneur, when someone succeeds, they see the success, they see the accolades, but what they don't see is the blood and the sweat and the tears and the sacrifice, and they don't see all that ugliness, that the real heartache of it.
Mm-hmm. I think, and it goes back to something Ross alluded to, which is passion. You can't just say, I want to be successful. You have to have a goal or a cause or something that you feel passionate about and persevere.
And I believe awareness of what you're capable of, you know, and not limiting yourself and understanding your greatness that's inside of you. Just having that awareness, and that all comes from personal development. I don't think I had that for a long time. I think I had struggled with worthiness. I felt like I had to go through tests, and once I passed that test, I could reward myself with that. And you know what? I really think if you change your mindset and you expect great things, you surround yourself with positive thoughts and an amazing inner circle, I think awareness of who is coming into your life, I think God will provide if you just stay aware.
Ross, could you elaborate a little bit more? Because some of the listeners might be, when you talk about personal development, they might not be sure. Like, what exactly are you talking about learning how to do a balance sheet? It seems like you're talking about other things.
I am talking about other things. I'm referring to diving deep into who you are and figuring out who you are. I reached a turning point back in 2013 that I was literally, and I haven't told too many people this, I was rock bottom. I had moved here with not really a plan. I ran a mortgage company. It was a one-man show in Shreveport, Louisiana. It took me 3 months, and I realized a one-man show in the Woodlands, Texas does not work, especially if you don't know anybody. So I think I had to dive into who I am, what I want, and I read a book that changed everything.
Tell us about that.
The book was called Ask and It Is Given. It's more of a spiritual book, but it's more of a mindset book, and that book catapulted me to want to research more and more and more and educate myself. It opened my mind to what I'm capable of.
It's definitely a mindset, and we talked about the 50% for failure rate. It makes me think, okay, you know, what if my wife was saying, hey, I don't know if I want to get married because 50% of the people get divorced.
You got to put a ring on that finger?
Yeah, right. You got to have the passion. I really wasn't worried about the 50% of people, you know.
See that whenever you've got the right reasoning and drive behind you. And also, I think that the people that are able to wrap their head around that, their goals, that 10-year vision, the 3-year plan, the 1 year of execution, well, that 10-year vision that they have cannot be defined by monetary value or material good. Mm-hmm. Chances are there's a different type of fire in them, the ones that forego understanding or even acknowledging those statistics.
Chase the vision, not the money. That's right. One of my quotes that I love.
I like that. So, benefits of coming into this group, the Woodlands Young Entrepreneurs Network, because depending on who they are and what their need is, you may be able to connect them to someone that maybe knows a lot about building a business plan, knows a lot about taxes,
Absolutely.
Knows a lot about entity formation, knows a lot about, you know, and with the connection that we have with the university and Dr. Newbold, and just recently we had a show on commercial banking. If you have a business, you need a commercial banking sort of relationship, and we had on the Shrimp Tank Ray Sanders that broadcast a show live in the classroom. That was really cool. So I feel a synergy between your group, Shrimp Tank, and just knowing the right people.
Well,
right.
I mean, we're going through that. Both of our 9-to-5s, our businesses are pretty well in place, but there's a lot of nuances that are associated with having a networking group that's growing like this. And so we're actually going through these curves and learning. The whole group is growing together. just because we're standing up there, we're hosting the event, doesn't mean that we're better. It just means that we came up here and we grabbed the microphone. we're trying to figure these things out too. So we're sourcing all the viable opportunities for you to get that sort of help and being able to source those individuals within the group. And it's not somebody, you know, shining their check at us. It's whenever we say, we send it out to everybody. We say, who in here has got what it takes to help us out with this? And then time and time again, we end up using them or conferencing with them, and we tell others about it. And then you see them getting traction with the rest of the members in the group, and they start being those individuals that kind of rise to the top.
And that's one of the things that we were most proud of, honestly, was we didn't want to have a lot of rules and boundaries on what our network could do. We're very, very proud that they have already established a women's group spinoff from our group. We definitely encourage people to have their own small groups out of this. That was the premise of creating this.
You're going to find your own personal network.
And I was going to remind the listeners in talking to these guys, although it's called the Young Entrepreneurs Group, if you're a college student, you're welcome to come to the meetings. And if you're an older guy like me in your 50s or 60s or whatever, you're still welcome. It's the Young at Heart Entrepreneurs Group.
That's right.
Network. And so, and just real quickly, can you guys talk about, is there, thinking of January, February, the beginning of the next year, is there a particular day of the week? When are these events? When do you do them?
Typically every Wednesday. They're on Wednesdays. We have had some scheduling conflicts. I know Congressman Kevin Brady came and spoke with us, and he could only make a Tuesday. We had another speaker that could only make Tuesday. So every now and then we'll veer off from the Wednesdays. But typically it's either one of the last Wednesdays of the month or third Wednesday of the month.
And we try to get the events posted well in advance so that if there is an adjustment, everybody can be prepared.
So the students' easiest way to connect would be through Facebook at facebook.com/ the Woodlands YEN. You had mentioned that your website is doing, you got some maintenance going on with that.
Yep.
And with that, we're going to go to another commercial break. We'll be right back live in the studio with Evan Blair and Ross Fleury. Don't go away. Has planning, saving, and investing for retirement been on your to-do list for far too long? Then look no further than right here in the Woodlands with the coaches of Provident Wealth Advisors. Don't put planning for your future off any longer. Get started today. Call 281-466-4843 or visit us on the web at providentwealthllc.com. Fee-based financial plan and investment advisory services are offered by Provident Wealth Advisors, a registered investment advisor in the state of Texas. Insurance products and services are offered through Goodwin Financial Group. Provident Wealth Advisors and Goodwin Financial Group are affiliated companies. And we are back live in studio today. ShrimpTankPodcast.com. Don't forget our shows are on iTunes. We're having a great interview with Evan Blair, Ross Fleury. My co-host today is Dr. John Newbold from the College of Business at Sam Houston State University. And we're talking about the Woodlands Young Entrepreneurs Network. And how
it's
you guys...
A mouthful, isn't it?
I know. So far, so good on that, right? I haven't switched to TWYEN, but the Woodlands Young Entrepreneurs Network. You guys started this, about a year ago?
A year ago tomorrow.
Got about 1,800 members, which is, I think, incredible. And you're really developing a real sense of community. You're bringing a group together, mostly, people 20s, 30s, but... young at heart is the, you don't need to be 20s or 30s, right?
Correct.
Right.
So not an age band that's strict on this, right?
No, not with the amount of, and as we move forward even more, the charitable outreach. We're not the ones that would want to draw rigid lines around age or creed or color or anything that would disassociate you from helping give back to the community.
I'd like to expand on that a little bit just because I feel like, between me and Evan, there's a big age difference. I'm 35, he's 27. Part of my passion and my goal for this network is to bring together the baby boomers and the millennials. That's what I feel like I'm here for. I can bridge that gap. Evan gives me a lot of insight on his entrepreneurial spirit and his ideas. And I feel like I love to collaborate with the older demographic and bring them together and show them what we're doing, really make a better community feel for everybody.
And I really like John's idea about students actually connecting with the group right now while you're in school.
We have high schoolers that attend.
I would love to share a story about that. Nobody knows this story. So we had a group of a few 17 and 18-year-old high school kids come in to our event at Del Frisco's a few months back. And believe it or not, we ended up plugging them with a group of VCs that actually happened to be at the event. They ended up talking about a t-shirt business that they're working on. Their mother brought them to the event, plugged them with the VC group, and now they're talking. I just think that's what we're here for. That is what we're here for, to plug people together.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's so awesome. And you know what? Today, there's so many ways to start a business. If you have the idea and you can get the mentoring, the equipping, the collaboration that you're talking about, there's, you know, you don't have to, you can bootstrap this through sometimes friends and family. There's crowdfunding. There's these micro sort of loans. There's more access to capital, SBA loans, than anybody's ever had before. It's trending. You can pull down information off the internet.
I'm sure there's an app for business plans by now, right? Just download it.
I bet if you check your phone right now, you'd find one. But
you want me to find one before the end of this?
Yeah, why not?
All right, let me see.
So there's if you've got the bug, if you've got the heart, if you've got the passion, then sometimes you just need to really find the launch pad. And I'm excited to know that the Woodlands Young Entrepreneurs Network work is here in the Woodlands. And that you guys are connecting with so many people. So
I'd like to ask a question.
Yeah, John.
again, coming from a college professor perspective, we probably talk to students about the value of networking and everything, and you hear a lot of trite comments about it's who you know and things like that. But I don't think, let's just talk about young people. I don't think young people necessarily understand the reason for it. So here you guys have started up essentially a network, and could you explain to the audience, like, what is the value of going to a networking meeting? So imagine I'm a young person, I'm looking at the fact that you guys are having a meeting in January. I think a lot of people, or even an entrepreneur, would say, I got a lot of stuff on my plate, I don't know if I really need to go add this to my calendar. Could you know, kind of make the case for why these things are so important?
Well, we do believe it's important. That's why we started it. But without having the membership dues, I think that what you'll find is the people that do go there want to be there, and they're purpose driven. They want to see themselves and their business succeed. They want to see their professional lives improve, their personal lives improve. And I believe in the 6 degrees of separation, that you never know who you're going to run into, who they may know. Like I touched on with the soft economy and the fluctuations and the volatility of the marketplace, that you always want to kind of have that stack of business cards in the back pocket that you know you can fall back on and make sure that you make those connections. I also don't believe it's just who you know, it's how you know them. And so this is an opportunity to cultivate those relationships and really develop something beyond a handshake, to really gather a group of friends around you that have a vested interest in seeing you succeed no matter what your walk of life or your industry is.
And I'll tell you, if you are in fear of coming to one of these events just for the first time because you may be coming by yourself, that is one of the biggest fears for so many people that mm-hmm. we've met. And we will ask for testimonies either at our meetings or our pre-meetings. We have a panel that meets the week before the event. And a lot of them truly say, you guys made us feel so welcome. I was so nervous to walk in. And then from the moment I walked in, everybody greeted me, told us all about how this works and why we're doing this. And that's just the great feedback we've gotten. We want to be very friendly and welcoming to everybody. And we actively search people out that are just looking around at the event. We're like, hey, come here. I'm Ross, you know?
And we're afraid too, you know? Every event, we're scared. We don't know what's going to happen. We're always just kind of making sure that everything goes. We keep high expectations. So you being the guest, you're have no expectations, and that's kind of fearful. And we have high expectations, and that's fearful. So you're in good company.
Yep. So at these meetings, and as you get to know other entrepreneurs in the community, you obviously become aware of some people that are in the startup phase, some people who are gaining traction, and some people who have become very successful. So from your vantage point of this community now that you're very much a part of, what do you recognize are some of the skills that entrepreneurs need to be successful? What are some of the common threads that you've seen, the people that have really hit their stride? What are some of the commonalities that you might mention?
This may be a little off kilter, but the I don't give a attitude. I feel like the people that just don't care, they know what they're capable of. They're going to grind. They're not worried about what people are going to say. They're the most active. They're the ones doing, and they don't care about anything else.
The most focused?
They are the most focused. They're singularly focused. What is it, Grant Cardone? Be obsessed. You need to be obsessed. And I see a lot of people that are walking in that line of their life and their work right now, where it's kind of like they've got the blinders on. I know for a fact, for me, even with family, friends, close individuals, I let them know at the beginning of the relationship, this is what I'm trying to accomplish. This is where I'm trying to go, and I'll have to make sure that I can accomplish those things, because I want to make sure that I can take care of those people around me. And if you think that I'm going to be distracted in order to not make something like that happen, I can tell you who's going to lose out on that.
I think it's very valuable to set those expectations. That way you're not wasting your time with people that aren't like-minded.
Yeah, and you hear all this talk about a work-life balance, and you know what? I think you got to have a life. But sometimes when you're an entrepreneur and you're in the startup phase, sometimes you got to put it all on the line, and other things have to take a back seat for a little while. And it's not always pretty, but it oftentimes is necessary. It reminds me of a client of mine that is just a block down the street from me, has a $7 million company, and he cashed in his 401k, which was really symbolic of any financial security that family had. And he wasn't in his 20s or 30s, he was like, you know, in his 40s. Mm-hmm. Cashed in his 401k, started this little manufacturing company, and he said for 2 years, he worked 12, 15 hours a day and slept on a cot up there at the office and did not know if they were going to make it or not. And that was not pretty. I mean, that was hard. And he gutted it out, but he had that passion.
True testament of determination.
And I kind of think that in hindsight, whenever you see something like that, even him, first person, looking back and saying, you know, I was struggling like that and I was sleeping on a couch. I, at that time, wasn't sure if I was going to make it. I think those are the signs that you are, even if that's not the way that it's going to happen. If that manufacturing company didn't take off, but you're putting that much into it, you're destined to hit it at some point
or
another. Right. And we're living longer. You know, I'm 27, single, no kids. So I've got a weird perspective on work-life balance. I've got all the time in the world to focus on work for the life after, because retirement age is still sanctioned somewhere around 60. Am I right? And so, you know,
it depends who you ask.
Well, I mean, say it's 65, say it's 70. The first person to live to 150 has already been born, according to scientific fact at this point. You know, not our age, but somebody.
I hope that term becomes an antiquated term in my lifetime, because, you know, more and more people are just looking at a life plan that does not involve a retirement. And to your point, and I wanted to ask John, is this a mindset attitude of a lot of the students you talk to, or do you feel like there's a pervasive, idealistic mindset with a lot of students that, hey, you know, I get this shingle from the university, and then life's going to be really great. I'm going to go get my great job, my BMW, and my trophy wife, and everything's just going to be sunshine and rainbows.
Yeah, no, I don't think they're thinking that way that everything's going to be handed to them and everything. And again, at Sam Houston State, particularly because of the type of students we have and everything, they're scrappers and they're workers, and that's what a lot of the employers like about the students that come out of Sam Houston State. Again, probably their biggest liability is a lack of experience, a lack of awareness of everything. They are very full of hope. They are ready to work, but they don't know what to expect. They don't know quite how to get from one place to the next. And so, and your college education is only kind of the launching pad for all of that. You know, and there's so much more you have to learn. I was talking to Ross earlier about they almost need to have a class for here's what to expect, you know, right out of college.
That is definitely in our plans. We would love to put that together. In fact, when we originally came up with the concept of this group, we wanted to have a mentorship class, more of a life academy type class, where we have, you know, maybe 5-6 different mentors that come in and teach on their respected field, whether it be, you know, credit type industry or tax returns, how to be an adult that you don't learn in high school.
Yeah, one comment I make to them is like the current generation come out of college, it's so different than when we were coming out of college, because the economy was going so well. The students that are come out of college now have been living through a sideways economy almost their entire adult life, and so that probably has an impact upon the way they see their life chances and what they want to do. Which is not to say they're all downbeat, but it's a lot different than if you happen to go through college and when there was a go-go economy and everybody who graduated had a job waiting for them and things like that.
Well, that's one of the things too. Is as a college student and younger, you're subjected to the economy. I think as you get out of college, and you're right, it is that platform to launch from. I think it teaches you also how to learn extracurricularly as you move away from school, how you learn what works best for you to be able to get you to adapt and figure these things out, P&Ls and all the business intricacies that are involved with starting your own company. But whenever you do that, it doesn't matter if the economy is sideways or not. Obviously, people's spending habits and their trends are going to change and adjust based on the current economic situation. But if you've got that drive and you've got all that stuff figured out and you're continuing to develop, you can kind of create your own little economy. You can kind of figure out what you need to do.
You're listening to the Shrimp Tank Podcast. We're going to go to a commercial break. Don't forget you can download all of our shows at iTunes and a complete replay of the show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back. According to a recent Forbes business article, 9 out of 10 business owners are overpaying their taxes. Ouch! Contact the team at Provident and explore how you can pay only what you are legally, morally, and ethically required to pay. After a simple, no-obligation assessment, we'll determine if we could substantially reduce your tax burden, and if so, we'll devise a tax savings plan using our exclusive tax blueprint. Visit us at providentwealthllc.com. And we're back live in the studio today with Ross Fleury, Evan Blair, and the Woodlands Young Entrepreneurs Network. I'm your host, Daniel Goodwin with Provident. Joining me in the studio, the Mercedes-Benz of the Woodlands studio. Yeah, we have Dr. John Newbold, faculty of Sam Houston State University. Great conversation about your story as entrepreneurs and then your startup of the network group, the Woodlands Young Entrepreneurs Network. It's really gaining momentum. It's gaining stride. You're helping a lot of the young people connect. You're teaching them the value of personal relationships. These are not apps. These are not groups. These are not tweets or posts or social stuff. This is like real live on live one on, you know, kind of a dying art, you know, in the digital age. And I think that that's a great thing for young people to figure out is that there is no replacing personal relationships with human beings. There's absolutely no replacing that.
That's right. That's true. I mean, that's like judging, you know, apples and oranges. But I think that there is some growth opportunity on both ends of it if you can nourish both sides of that, the face-to-face connections that you have and your social media. You know, at 27, I see that everybody meets online and they develop these relationships and push their social media presence that way, but we're trying something a little bit different where we start with the actual face-to-face meetings and then hopefully gain the traction on social media, and it's been as good as we could hope for that.
Yeah, I was actually thinking of something that Evan had said earlier. It's like these networking meetings actually are a way to continue your education for free.
Yeah,
absolutely.
In other words, you get out of college or whatever, but you go to these meetings, you talk to people, ask them questions about things you don't know, things you hope to understand better. And the next thing you know, they're telling you about a book they read or about, let me show you how I do it at my company, or they cause you to think differently because they said, well, I don't know, I don't even think about it that way, I think about it this way. So, you know, that's why you got to dive in and talk to people and, you know, and start to pursue things you're interested in.
You know, we were speaking a little bit earlier about, you know, coming to an event for the first time or getting involved for the first time and having the courage to do that. I really just want to let everybody know that we welcome whoever. And we have a great panel of members, I would say probably 15 of us, that really go out there and try to meet you and understand you and get to know your business, especially if it's your first time at an event. We truly want to help as much as we can.
So how do you guys stay motivated? You're running these businesses. You've got this group. You've got your personal life. You got a lot going on. How do you really keep the fire in the belly, and how do you keep it going consistently?
I honestly don't think I know any different. I grew up with my father. He's a wholesale car dealer. For 40 years, and you know, I'm 35, so I saw him get up every single day. He had, you don't you got to grind to make a living for your family. I saw him take in my mother and my sister when my sister was 7 and really just bring this family up on his entrepreneurial spirit. And he just gets up and grinds every single day. He still does it. So that's where I learned this. And I don't know any different. I've never had a salary.
How about you, Evan?
Along the same lines with the family business and them getting up and grinding every day, and I've seen them make it through the ups and downs of the 80s. I don't know much about that time. I'm 27, but I've heard horrible things.
It was a really cool time.
Things.
I want to tell you, it was a really cool time, right? Right?
Are we talking about fashion? Are we talking
MC
about
Hammer,
declines
Zuba
in
pants.
The economy? All right, all right. Yeah, those are good. But I think if I'm honest with myself, there's a lot of fire in me trying to prove myself to myself, and I think there's a lot of people that I'm still trying to prove wrong, and I'm not afraid to say that, I guess.
You guys have commented in a little bit about your generation, you know, and the people think of the younger generation. I guess the older generation always tends to think of them as feeling entitled and everything. I think my parents probably thought I felt entitled. Could you both comment on your generation a little bit? Because, and I'll withhold what I was going to say, but what, do people misunderstand your generation in terms of the work ethic and
I'm going to take the Generation X deal, why don't you go at it?
Are we talking about my generation in a worldly way or in the woodlands?
Oh, let's say in the worldly way.
Okay, that's fair. You know, you get fed what you see online by the 1% and by any media outlet, by the 1% of people that are making the most ruckus or boohoo and the snowflakes out there. I can tell you that there's a lot of hard workers that are my age, and there's a lot of people that that in the eyes of others don't work hard, but they're satisfied. And that's the thing too. If you're happy with what you're doing, if you're happy just getting by, I'm not here for you. I'm not here to tell you that you have to make an adjustment and you're being lazy, because in your eyes, you're doing what you need to do, mm-hmm. and you're getting by. And then there are some people that are entitled, but that's in every generation. I don't think that's any different now. I think the only reason why it feels more and more like the younger ones are more entitled, work ethic is passed on. Hard work and perseverance is passed on. My dad is a killer, and he's raised me to be a killer myself, but I think that we're more hyper-connected. The ability to see into somebody else's life is what you're kind of being able to gather that information from. I can open up my phone right now, where whenever you are my age and somebody goes on vacation, it's because the only reason you know is because you got their voicemail. I can go online and see on their Instagram where they are, how much they're spending, you know, and know everything about them and determine whether or not they're being lazy or they're accumulating debt or they're just, I don't know.
I think you have a good point. It's that some of the real dipsticks get the camera time and the FaceTime and the news time. I'm the father of a 23-year-old daughter who's a rock star. I mean, and she is so driven, motivated, and responsible, and all of these different things.
Right.
And she is not, there. You know, there's a stereotype. We did a great thing in Cincinnati about all of these different generations. And, you know, the current generation's always been criticized by the generation before. So it's, you guys are the future. You are our future. And then the generation that John and I come from, I'm really glad you mentioned that about Sam Houston, because I graduated from Sam Houston in 1984. And I got to tell you, I was in a fraternity. And what a sack of mixed bag or deplorables or whatever you know. I mean, we're from all over. And I gotta tell you that one of my friends sold an airline company that he built up. One of my friends' fraternity brothers sold a company for $240 million. I've got a ton of friends from Sam Houston that had scrappers that you talked about. None of us were from gravy train rich families. We all waited tables and worked jobs and hustled and, you know, got there any way that we could. But I'm so proud of, like, the people I went to school with and what they've become.
I think, like Evan says, I think it's overblown, the perception that
yes.
that there's a bunch of entitled,
isn't it just
people.
That much more exciting to say the negatives? You know,
yeah. I feel like the negatives get more play, more attention, and they attract more negativity. I would love to see more positive and more, you know, good stories out there, but sometimes you have to cut the news out so you're not around it.
Yeah. That's why we openly pass kudos around at the group and at the events. If I see you kicking butt, I'm gonna point at you in front of everybody, and I'm gonna recognize you because you need to make positivity louder.
Yeah.
Okay. Can either of you guys think of any, you know, as you begin this journey, and then in your businesses, some decisions that were really pivotal, or put you on the path that you're on now, that you know, where you actually came together to do this. Can you speak to that? Just,
This is close to home. One of the reasons it got started, and one of the reasons I came to Ross, I quit drinking. I was one of the deplorables. I was having a lot of fun. And so when I turned 25, I put down alcohol for a while and was trying to gather positivity around me and was trying to be more optimistic about what my future was, and Ross saw that. He'd met me just prior to stopping or putting down the drink, and I guess I'd had not the best first impression, but a pretty stellar second one. So he reached out and said he was real proud of what I was doing, and that meant a lot coming. And like you said, at this age, you don't get that. People don't spread the positivity. They don't throw the kudos around as much. It's more like, well, you should have figured that out on your own. And so to have him reach out, it was inspiring. And so we started hanging out and plotting and planning. And I'd say that adjustment in my personal life was the tipping point and the catalyst for everything that's happened for me on this end of it.
I would love to have a different answer, but I think your inner circle is who makes you.
Yeah.
And that is how me and Evan came to be friends. I was looking for people that, one, was like-minded, two, we could help each other, three, has great ideas and a genius mind. And ever since moving to the Woodlands, Evan's part of that circle. I have a small inner circle that over the past year has just blown me away with the talent that I've met, and it's really keeping those people close.
That's so cool, and it says, as iron sharpens iron, and I think that's a great metaphor for what you're accomplishing with the Woodlands Young Entrepreneurs Network. So we were so delighted to have you on the show, and why don't you tell our listeners again best way to get in touch with each of you, please, and then with the network.
Well, I'll put myself out there. You can call, text anytime. Can I say my line?
Yeah, put your cell phone, anything.
You can contact me directly. My number is 832-794-0072, and that's my direct line. So you can call or text whenever. I'm happy to talk to you about business or any of your struggles, any things you want to chat about. As far as the network goes, we do have an event coming up, and I'll touch on why we're doing that. We have the website will be going live. That is twyen.com. But for now, follow us on Facebook and on Instagram and on Twitter. All of them either / on Facebook, The Woodlands Yen, or at The Woodlands Yen on Instagram and Twitter. What about you, Russ?
I actually, again, run Nations Lending of the Woodlands. I'm not going to give my phone number because I don't know that people would actually
write it down.
Give his phone number.
I'll give you my email. It's really easy. RossFleury@Hotmail is my personal email. You email me anytime with anything personal, professional, whatever you'd like to talk about.
Or if you need a loan, right?
Correct.
Mortgage loan.
Of course.
Right? What are rates doing right now?
Oh, it's been fun.
Pushing up,
it's
right?
It's been fun since the election. But I'll tell you what, I think with the new administration, we may get a little deregulation. Rates may rise, which they probably should have already. I think a lot of people are, they're used to these low rates, and they don't know how good they're getting it right now, you know?
Yeah, yep. Better if you're going to move forward on some real estate, you better do it quick while you can get these low interest rates. So it was a fascinating interview, very exciting. Ross Fleury, Evan Blair, the Woodlands Young Entrepreneur Network, and Dr. Newbold, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you all.
Don't forget, you can go out to iTunes, grab our shows. You can download a complete replay of the show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you here live next week from Mercedes-Benz of the Woodlands. Option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.
welcome to the shrimp tank. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, but homie keep going. You know the saying, you can reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016. Like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general, from the front I'm a leader. The charge like a federal fell on my lap, never going hard as ever. The results match the effort. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank, big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.